This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Chasing Excellence. My name is Patrick Cummings, and as always, I am joined by Ben Bergeron. Every week here on the show, we dedicate some time to exploring how we can live a life of better health and increased fulfillment. We answer your questions about the five factors of health, dive deep on living a life of excellence, and explore the strategies and frameworks to help us chase what truly matters. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. How are you, Ben?
Phenomenal.
Fantastical. We have a wonderful show, as we always do here, full of good questions from listeners. We're going to jump right into, you're going to steal my pen right off the bat, huh?
Yeah, I already had a thought.
we're going to jump right in to our warm-up, which is how we start each episode. We do it with your questions about the five factors of health, those few fundamental behaviors that most positively affect your performance, vitality, and longevity. Those five factors are how we eat, how we move, how we think, we connect, and how we recover. Let us, as we always do, jump into the move category. And this question is from Anastasia. How do you overcome weightlifting fear? I've been doing CrossFit for 3 years. I got to an intermediate weights and I'm stuck because I'm scared. We did an 8-week lifting cycle. And at the end of the last two cycles, I did not get a PR. Now we are doing our snatch cycle. And I love snatching as I have great mobility, but I couldn't lift more than 95% because I am scared. I just want to get a PB so badly that I pressure myself on how important it is for me. And then I get and then I got so scared that I can't get under the bar. And my previous failed cycles are messing with my mindset. I've never felt this before. I usually just go for it until I fail a few times, and then I know I can't lift it.
Yeah, a really concrete, actionable answer here. Stolen from Chinese weightlifting methodology, which is overloading. Mm. So let's take the example of a squat. You know, just to use that, and I'll come back to the snatch. Yep. Well, if the most, if you can squat 400 pounds and you're trying to squat 405, well, that first attempt at 405 also coincides with the most weight that has ever been on your back. Your body's going to freak out. It's not your fault. Like, your body is going like, yeah. What the hell are you doing? And even before you put it on your back, in this case, the snatch, you know, your body knows that's more. You're telling me, this is what your mind's doing. You're telling me you're going to throw this thing up in the air, wedge yourself between this weight in free fall and the ground and catch it? I'm out. No yep. way. No, thank you. Yep. So you have to not have that be the case. So what you do is you do overloads. So for the squat, it would be rack walkouts. If you can squat 400 pounds, you're going to train walking out 400 to 480
literally
pounds.
Just put it on your shoulders.
Put it on your shoulders.
Stand up.
Stand up. Take back. Two steps back, okay. Two steps forward. Maybe a little quarter squat. Maybe a couple little bounces. So you get to feel your body. Your CNS doesn't now freak out when that weight's on the bar. For the snatch, it's the same thing. If your best is 200 pounds in the snatch, you're going to put 220 240, maybe even 260 pounds and do some deadlifts with that.
Yep.
So you get used to that snatch grip deadlift way heavier than you've ever lifted. Your body then goes to lift to 200. It goes, check, I got this. I've seen way heavier than this. Similar, that's not enough. You now have to get that thing above your head. So you're going to do overhead squats with that overloaded weight. This is the purpose of overhead squats. If you can do it with overhead squats, then we're going to do it with snatch balances. You should be able to snatch balance 20 to 30% over your actual snatch weight. This is how you get there. Forget about all the things of pulling off the ground, the technique of finding the second pull and vertical extension through the hips and keeping the bar close and that aggressive turnover and punch. Just put it from your back rack to overhead while working through a squat. Then, with all of those in place, now we start to feel a little more comfortable because we've been there before. not all together, but we've been there before and your body won't freak out.
It's called overloading.
Call it whatever you want.
Call it whatever you want. There you go. Love it. Next question is from Angeline, in our Think Factor. I'm working full-time as a dentist and training for a half Ironman while doing Comp Train 60. I am aware that I have to sacrifice strength and gains for CrossFit at the moment, but I'm wondering how to balance it all. Should I do the Comp Train first or Ironman programming first in a day? Mentally, it can get exhausting. And the last bit is why I added it to the Think Factor. Mentally, it can get exhausting.
Okay. Interesting. It's in the think category though, cause I don't think it's a thinking thing. I think it's exhausting.
Roger that.
You're training for a half Ironman and doing the Comp Train 60 program, which by the way means that you can get done 60 minutes. So on Comp Train, on the app, there's, three different protocols. You can do it in 60 minutes, 2 hours or 3 hours based on how much time do you have to train today. Mm-hmm. It's a really good, really effective training program. You get done in an hour, which is usually enough for anyone to stay very, very, very fit. If you want to do that while also training for a half Ironman, there has to be some give and take. And they're already alluding to that. Like they're willing to give up some of the top end fitness and strength numbers to be able to do the half. The question I would need to have answered before I could give a really good answer to this is, how important and how well do you want to do in this half Ironman? Mm. If it's compete to complete, you don't care if it takes you 6.5, 7, or 8 hours, then yeah, I would do the Comp Train stuff first because I believe that it's better for your overall health. And then supplement it with some extra, depending on how much time you have as well, do an extra 40 minutes to an hour of swim, bike, run, just rinse, wash, repeat through that as the stuff comes out after the Comp Train 60 stuff. If you want to do under a 5.5 hour half, or you want to place in your age group, or this is really important to you, you want to qualify for a full or worlds or something like that, then it's a really different program. Then you should be following an Ironman training program, mm-hmm. and supplementing a couple days a week with some Metcons, not even the full, you shouldn't be doing the full Comp Train 60 stuff. It's too much. Just a couple days of some extra strength and conditioning pieces just to keep that vibrance, that vitality, that strength, that power piece there.
We'll get back to the show in just a minute, but first, a quick word of thanks to our sponsor this week, BetterHelp. Here on the show, we are obviously big fans of self-development. We're big on reading the books, watching the films, listening to the podcasts that can help us be better and become more fulfilled. But sometimes self-help isn't enough. Sometimes we need other help. We need somebody who isn't us to pull us out of our bad habits, to point out our blind spots, to ask us the questions we are not comfortable asking ourselves, and then who give us the space and time to come up with the answers we need. Books, films, podcasts are amazing, but sometimes we need to go deeper. We need to get personal. That's what BetterHelp can do. They're the world's largest platform for virtual therapy. After a short questionnaire, BetterHelp will pair you with one of their licensed professionals. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can help get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/excellence and get 10% off your first month. That's BETTERHELP.com/excellence.
Next question. Yeah, I put it in the E category. It could probably move to one or another. I've been
musical doing, chairs with yeah, our five exactly. factors.
I've been doing CrossFit for 10 years. I'm in my mid-30s. Recently, in the last 6 months, I started dialing in my sleep to get 7 or 8 hours a night, dialing in food, meat and veggies, carbs, just to fuel my workout. I'm at the gym 3 to 4 times a week, working on getting there 4 to 5 times. I've noticed a difference during workouts, but my body composition fat percentage seems barely impacted in the last 6 months. This has been a theme in my fitness journey that regardless of how good my diet is, my body fat percentage won't get below 25%. Is there something else that could be impacting my gains or impacting gains? Maybe worth getting a full blood test, or is just a thing that takes 2 to 3 years?
Okay, so this is going to be... the harsh answer. Mm-hmm. It does not take 2 to 3 years. And from what I just heard, I think the person is overestimating how well they're eating and overestimating how much time they're actually training. Mm-hmm. So I get it. You're doing meat, produce, and carbs to sustain activity. Well, let's find out what the number is.
Yeah.
How do you know that? Like we need to dial it in. If you are serious about this, getting below 25% and you feel like you're doing everything you can to the point where you think you need a blood test to figure this out, my contention is I don't think you're doing everything you can. Mm-hmm. I think that you're actually just scratching the surface. And what I mean by that is it doesn't sound like there's macros involved, like they're eating enough protein and just enough to sustain. They didn't say I'm eating underneath 100 grams of carbohydrates. That'd be the first one. And the next one is, I don't think the activity level is very high. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing comes down to body composition is how much and what are you eating, that quality and quantity, and what is your activity factor? Mm-hmm. That's the real thing. There is a third little thing, which I'll get to in a second, but that's the thing. My contention is, I don't think this person is as dialed with their nutrition as they, no matter how clean I eat, I don't lose body fat. I don't believe that. Have you done pure macros based off of just purely super, super clean eating? I think with a no activity level, I think that you would drop body fat. If not, then probably time for a blood test. But let's also, I've been doing CrossFit for 10 years, .. 3 to 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. That's not the prescription. Mm-hmm. You're not doing CrossFit. You are participating tangentially. You're jumping in here or there. There's 168 hours in a week. A CrossFit workout takes 15 minutes. You're doing 45 minutes a week of physical activity. Mm. So what is the other activities that you're doing? That's not enough. If you want those results, if you want to get, you got to put in more work than that. You can't get it in 3 CrossFit workouts a week. The prescription is 5 or 6 days a week. That's the prescription. And then from there, it's play and learn new sports. So what that means is you're doing CrossFit up to 6 times a week, and you're also playing women's soccer league 3 nights a week, and then going for hikes on the weekends, like hiking 10 miles. That's the healthy prescription. So if it's you've been doing this for 10 years, 3 days a week, you're not working out enough.
Next question is in the recover bucket. I'm trying to get fully back into CrossFit after going through some rotator cuff and knee injuries that have limited my ability to do many functional movements. My question is, how do you recommend I get back into CrossFit, hopefully back to RX someday, while dealing with multiple injuries and movement limitations?
Yeah, so that's a challenge, especially for people that, like, this is a big part of their lives and it's tied to their identity. It's where they get a lot of the feel goods and the hormonal response that makes us feel like humans. So I get it. The goal, number one, I've talked about this in recent podcasts, the number one goal is range of motion. Mm. You got to get back to functional ranges of motion. So spend the time in the gym focused on that. Meaning, can you get to an unweighted, pain-free air squat? Can you get to a unweighted, pain-free PVC pipe shoulder overhead press? If you got those two things, I'm always going to go to those things. It's the hips below parallel. It's the shoulders, full range of motion above the head. If you got those two things, then we can start to load them, right? That we can start to get a little bit. And it's the same. The best rehab protocol is the functional movements. Now, you have a massive, massive discrepancy or imbalance. We can fix that. That's not the case for most people. Most people have just lost the functionality, the full range of motion component of functional movements. So we have to restore that. And we do whatever we can to do it, meaning it's partial squats, it's supported squats, it's counterbalance squats, meaning you're holding a 10-pound plate in front of you, it's heel elevated squats, it's whatever we can do to get ourselves into that appropriate squat position. And then you just baby step away from it. So if it's assisted, you just go less and less assisted. If it's you're starting off holding a 25-pound plate in front of you, then you go to a 15, then you go to a 10, then you go to 5, then you go to none. If it's heels elevated and the heels are on a 45-pound plate, then it's to a 35. You just slowly spring yourself back down. But it's that baby step to get back to full range of motion. Once you have full range of motion, it's kind of like once that lever comes back to normal, then the load comes up on the other side. It's a very slow path back up.
Yep. Is it, and maybe I'm harping on this and it's not necessary, but the hopefully getting back to RX someday, is that a useful goal to set? If assuming that we're in a place where like we've got to get full range of motion back first, is the, gosh, I hope I get back to RX someday more a detriment, more a barrier to doing the hard, slow, tedious work that you're describing? Or is it good to have that sort of like, yeah, it might be a year away, 2 years away, but like that's what I'm shooting for?
It's a bigger discussion about goals in general. Goals serve a purpose for the appropriate people at the appropriate times. So they can be detrimental. So, but other people, it's the thing that get like, doctor said, I'm never going to walk again. Like F that doctor, I'm going to prove them wrong. And that's the goal. That's what keeps in that drive, right? That's a great, awesome intrinsic motive. That's amazing. Like I am going to go and do this. Like I want to get back to being able to, you know, I spent a long time without fitness goals this year. This year, for the first time in a long time, I've created fitness goals because I felt like I needed that spark. I felt like I've fallen in terms of the my different levels of where I found that balance between all the different roles in my life. I felt like the fitness one had slid off enough to where I was like, I need to like get some concrete. It puts power to the process. These are the things I need to know if I'm on track or not. Much like the whole process in general of like, you know, you got your career, your health, your relationships, your hobbies, your spiritual like you want that in balance. Well, what is a balanced approach? What do you feel like that's a goal? Just like the goal of, you know, getting back to RX rates. I don't think it's, as long as it's the type of thing that doesn't derail you because you are frustrated with the slow process.
Got it. All right. Last question we've got is in our Connect bucket. I work in a hospital and it's hard for me to maintain compassion with my patients when I know that it was their own choices that led them to their hospitalization, eating processed food, smoking unhealthy lifestyles, et cetera. I even once had a patient who just suffered a massive heart attack ask me to bring him chips and a soda. How does one maintain compassion and kindness while simultaneously holding people accountable to their own actions?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
They don't know what you know. I get it. Like you know how horrifically detrimental poor food choices is to people's lives to the point where they are now bedridden in front of you because of those life choices. They don't know that, and or their entire lives have been set up for them to not be able to do that. And it's kind of, it's giving people forgiveness. And it's a really hard thing to do. I think it's probably the hardest thing to do in the world is give people forgiveness. So I'll just do the, I'll share the extreme example of forgiveness, which is there was a woman whose son that she was very close with was murdered. The murderer was convicted, admitted to the crime, and the woman met the killer of her son and forgave him, created an incredibly, not only forgave him, brought him under her wing with all of the compassion, understanding the world, ended up loving the murderer and adopting him as her own son. She is now his mother. That is the, like, if there's any place that I would have a really hard time forgiving someone, it would be that. So that level of compassion and forgiveness exists on planet Earth. That's what I'm saying. That's the high watermark. I'm nowhere near that. The person asking this question is also nowhere near that because they're getting upset and frustrated for people eating chips. Like we have to have a, what the person, that mother said was, it wasn't his fault. He didn't know better because of the way that he was raised. He was brought up in an environment that this led him to these choices. We're products of our environment. So it's the same thing with people that don't make the healthy choices is even if they've seen on the news, even if they've heard from you, it's still not enough to outweigh their programming. And their programming is, this is my life. This is the way it works. I can't break the pattern. because they also didn't grow up with enough discipline of what the meaning of willpower is. There's so many different factors that come into the way that people operate inside the world. And if you, I kind of like the thing of saying, it's like, I am never a victim, but I'm willing to see everyone else as one, which is, I don't fault you at all for the way that you are, because you are just a product of your environment. It's not your fault, but I'm going to take total ownership to try to make myself as best as I possibly can. It's a very stoic approach to, Marcus Aurelius has a quote that's so much better than the one that, it's be, compassionate with others, but strict with yourself. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. So for this person, yeah, like your job is not to necessarily get them to, it's certainly not to get frustrated with them for their food choices. It's to be compassionate with them and take care of them while they're here in front of you. And through that care and compassion, maybe then you can, maybe for somebody there, you could be a guide, a mentor, a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Love that. All right. That was our warm up. If you guys want to get a question in the queue, find me on Instagram, PS Cummings. Drop me a DM. I'll add it to our list. We'll get into a future episode. Okay, right back to the show in just a minute. But first, a quick word of thanks to our sponsor this week, Miracle Made. Want the secret to more fitness, more patience, and more productivity? It's more sleep. You know this. That's why we're excited to partner with Miracle Made Sheets. Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics that were originally developed by NASA to aid in thermoregulation and that are designed to keep you at the perfect temperature all night long, resulting in an over 30% improvement to your sleep. Not only that, but the natural silver prevents 99.9% of bacterial growth, so your sheets stay cleaner 3 times longer than your boring old sheets that no astronaut would be caught dead sleeping in. Go to trymiracle.com/excellence to get yours. If you do, not only will you be getting 40% off by using the code excellence, they'll even throw in 3 free towels. They're so confident you'll love these sheets that they offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you've got nothing to lose but that groggy feeling in the morning that comes after a bad night of sleep. Head to trymiracle.com/excellence and be sure to use the code excellence to save 40%. Time for our workout. Workout is just when we spend 15 or 20 or 30 minutes deep diving on a particular subject. This time around, we're going to kind of revisit something that we did in a cool down. The episode came out in November, so it's a couple months ago. In the cool down, I forget exactly what the trigger for it was, but basically it was something about like, what questions do you ask to make sure that you're making the right decisions, or how do you kind of filter big decisions to make sure that you're moving in the right direction? So I shared in that episode what I just call the 5 big questions, which are relatively new for me. And so so 2 things. One, it was a cool down, so we had like 5 minutes, and like it would have been fun to dive into it. So I wanted to bring that back
so
and
let's
actually
dive. Let's get wet.
And then the second thing is I kind of piece these things together actually in the process of the 12-hour walk, which we did in September-ish of last year. These were kind of the questions that I kept circling back on. One of them, because literally it was the question that he's like, that Colin, the O'Brady, the guy who wrote the book, he's like, ask yourself this question. And so that question was on my mind. But as I was doing that, as I was doing the walk, I kept surfacing back with some other really big questions. And so I put them together. And in probably not long after September, and then again at the new year, I sat down and gave myself an hour to kind of think through, ask these questions of myself, come up with whatever answers I might have. And so this is kind of what, this is my, the beginnings of a 3, maybe longer, but 3-month kind of check-in. Look at the answers from last time. Does that feel right? Am I moving in this direction? Do I feel like some things have changed? And so, so I was really just excited to have this conversation with you, just because this is new. I might not have the right 5 questions. I might have in the right ballpark, but like, oh, maybe this is the right variant of that kind of question. So I just want to kind of share the questions and have a conversation around them, just honestly, selfishly, so that the next time I sit down to do this, I'll be a little bit further along. And so, I'm going to read the 5 questions, and I actually have sub questions in each one of these questions. I'd love to talk to you mostly about the big macro question, but I'm going to give the kind of the sub questions in there too, because I found them to be really helpful. So question number 1 is, how do I define success? And then the sub questions, And the sub questions are what I really thought about on the walk, because they're the ones that got me to a place of trying to understand. And so the first question, how do I define success? The sub questions are, how am I actively getting in the way of this success happening? And what single action am I going to take to get out of my own way? And so those two sub questions are the same for each one of these big questions.
Give them to me again. What's the sub questions again?
How am I actively getting in the way of this success?
Actively getting the way. Cool.
And then what single action am I going to take or am I taking to get out of my own way? Okay, so those are the sub questions for each of these. But the big questions, how do I define success? What impact do I want to have? What problem do I want to solve? What is my personal Everest? And that was the one from the 12-Hour Walk book. And then the last one is, what do I consider to be enough? And so you tell me where you want to dive.
Well, here's... I find it necessary to ask the multiple questions to paint the appropriate picture.
Okay.
I don't think it's much like we do it with the business that you're involved in. There isn't one singular mission statement, right? We have a purpose statement, which is our why. We have a BHAG, our big, hairy, audacious goal. We have our mission, which is what we do, who we do it for, and what's our differentiators. And we have a 3-year picture of what is this thing going to look like in a three. So we have the same thing, 4 or 5 different things that then creates together.
Yeah, that paint the entire picture.
Yeah. So it's the same thing. That's why I like these big 5. It's a very similar approach to, again, together. You know, I may have to get to the very last thing, which is, what purpose do they serve type thing, which is, I think that's answered in the intro to our show.
Okay.
Are you chasing what truly matters?
Yep. 100%.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
It's.
And which is very similar. I think what the question was originally was like, how do I know, or what kind of questions can I ask myself to know
that's
if I am chasing what really matters?
These are 5. Whether they're right 5 or not doesn't matter as much as, are you asking yourself a few questions to start to go, well, my North Star is over there, right? You never actually have to hit your North Star. You're just trying to always, because it's about the seeking. It's about the chasing, right? It's about the actively going and doing the work in line with the vision. That's the whole thing. So whether that North Star is off 3 degrees or 4 degrees this way isn't as important as, do you have the North Star? And these 5 questions are certainly compelling enough to get us to map that somewhere.
Yeah. And I think what I think about there is, I think it's a 2-part, probably more than that, but 2-part process. One is first identifying where you're trying to get to. And then the next step is consistently making the choices that you need to make in order to move towards them, right? Because I think it's really easy to just say like, there, that's what I want. Like, that's success to me. And then kind of leave it at that, you know, wipe your hands and say, gosh, I hope I get there. But unless you start, and which is why I really like these questions, and I like the process of sitting down and actually thinking about them, unless you start figuring out like, what are the choices that I need to make to move me toward that particular thing, toward this life that I want to live, that I want to live, then you're just left to hope. And you're left to hope that the universe gives you the nudges you need to move in the direction, versus what this process is to say, okay, I'm going to orient myself. I'm not going to let anybody else do it. I'm not going to let hope do it. I'm not going to let culture, society, my parents, whatever else, tell me which is the right roads to take. That's for me to figure out. That's for me to make the mistake or not make the mistake in moving down. But I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to make the choice.
So what we're working through is our framework of awareness, intention, and action.
Yep.
And the awareness is of where my North Star is.
Where am I trying to get to? Yep.
And then the intention is, these are the choices I'm going to make, and the action is following through with those choices. And what's real, big fan of the questions, big fan of the framework. And yes, unless we get to the actual place where we're taking action and taking the steps forward, we really haven't done a whole lot. Because
maybe
right.
Yeah.
Because when you put your stamp on something. You go, this is what I want. This is what I'm chasing. What ends up happening, even without the other stuff, you said it's not about hope or like letting the universe nudge you along the way. But once you create that awareness of this is what I'm chasing, you become aware of the universe actually nudging. Before, it just did it and you didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Right? It would be like being at a concert. And of course, when you're at a concert, people are going to bump like a big, big, big concert, you know, open room standing when everyone's going to be bumping shoulders with everybody. You don't even notice it anymore. But if you go and you just watch one person and you just stare at that one person and you see that person, all of a sudden you really notice every single time that one person does it. You become aware of the things you're aware of. I mean, it's the most. So what we need to do first and foremost is do the work of answering these questions. So you said earlier that part of the process was going back and looking at them. That to me says that you wrote them down.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Which is just how I think. Like
let's hear yours. Do you have,
I'll give you some.
Do you actually know them? Like, do you have them in front of you?
Yeah, of course.
You're prepared.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll do a couple of them. I'll dive into the first one, the success one.
And I'll share, I don't have mine written down, but, feel like I can conceptualize them.
I'm sure you can. Yeah. Okay. So I'll give my success one. Success is our ability to spend 2 to 3 months in a different city every year without stressing out over financial health or our work to the point that it feels like a real sacrifice. This has been, to me, this has been the thing like that's always been in the back of my mind. Like, that's what I want to be able to do. Like, or you know this, I live in the woods in Maine and I absolutely love it. But I deeply miss living in and around the city. And so for years now, my dream, which is why that's this, has been like, cool, let's get ourselves to a place where every year, maybe in the winter, we can just kind of pick up and go live for 2 months in Denver or whatever, somewhere in Europe. And quite frankly, for a long time, it was just like, gosh, that'd be fun someday. But now it's like, what do I need to do in the next 3 to 5 years to get us to a place that we can actually do that? Where it's not like we're doing it, but this screws everything else up. But like, no, we get to do this and we get to have fun with it. And we get to do it often and ongoing as the boys grow up and get older. So to me, if that happens, everything that needs to be in place for that to happen is success, is me at a place of success.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love the concreteness of like, you actually know if you've gotten it or not.
Yeah. Which is, I guess, part of the question, which is like, is that, to me, that's useful. To me, that's valuable to actually literally see that in my mind of being able to do that, of us being able to do that is better than, I don't even know what, like whatever other version of.
Yeah.
Even similar in the same vein.
Well, mine's the opposite.
Okay, cool. So, like, good. That's what I like.
So because I've set up myself for very definable metrics, whereas like if I cross this finish line, that will be success.
Yeah.
And what I've found is that's a little bit of the finite game where you think you know what success and happiness and well-being, you're going to feel amazing when you get there. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
So the way that I think of this, and I've shared this before on this podcast, is it has to be to me at the true finish line, which is our deathbed.
Yep.
And success to me is the ability to look back on my life and go, I did it. I'm happy with where I spent my time, the decisions I made, and the life that I have built. Shortcut answer, that is, a fulfilled life.
Mm-hmm.
And for that to happen, I can't defer anything along the way. So I can't defer anything I'm doing right now, bust my ass to create the financial, in your case, like, not that yours is wrong because I love the, but to bust my ass right now to create the financial security to be able to go and do those trips when I do there. I've set myself up with earning potentials that I've exceeded. And when I get there, I'm like, oh my gosh, now that it's not a success because it just gets moved immediately.
Yep.
So to me, what is absolute, what is the true thing? It has to be the totality of our lives. And really, it's the peace of mind, the well-being of I am so satisfied with the way that that time was spent. Mm-hmm. And the other part, you don't know, is that going to happen tomorrow? Or is that going to happen in 150 years? So it's this thing that always is pulling on. Every moment right now becomes a little more urgent in the best sense. Mm-hmm. You have to maximize minutes.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Let's do, just because I think it's fun and I think it's probably useful to hear other people's answers to these before you sit down and answer them yourself. So let's do the second one. Since there are a couple that I actually don't have great answers for. So I'm not skirting them when we get there, but there are things that I'm still trying to figure out how I answer these. But the second one, what impact do I want to have? I do have an answer to that, which is that I want to be a role model to Emerson and Miles, for my boys, for what it looks like to build an uncommon life. I want to I want them to see me work, to see me work out, to see me bring being present and non-judgmental, to see me get things wrong, to be creative, generous, and curious. I want them to be at 18 where I was at 38. I want them to be at 21 where I am at 41. So that's the impact I want to have.
Amazing. What's the next question? Because I think that's sort of my next answer.
What problem do I want to solve?
Oh, no. Okay. That was it. Okay. I just got so lost in your answer. I love that. Yeah. I love the specificity of it. Yeah. I love that its impact on the people that mean the most to you. You know, if I think of impact, when I think of impact and my purpose and what I'm trying to do, it's the thing that I'm doing, which is most closely centered to that. I feel like my life has been centered around this thing, which is I want to help others live meaningful, impactful, fulfilled, and passionate lives.
Yeah.
That's really what I believe. Yep. It's from, I hate this idea of working for a means to an end, going through the motions, the rat on a wheel, letting life pass you by as your deferred life, the deferred life or the victim life, or it eats me up, because the only thing we have for certainty is these moments right now. Mm-hmm. And gosh, what a gift. And why would we throw that away? And that's the thing I feel, that's the impact I want to have on other people, is that ability to rise up other people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To me, that strikes me, at least that lives kind of, because you asked about that kind of lives in the next question, which is, what is the problem I want to solve? And there's nothing, certainly nothing wrong with those two things being, in many ways, maybe they are often
I think that's narrowing it down. Mm-hmm. So the way I look at that question is—
Which, the problem one?
So yeah, the problem.
Yeah.
Which, so problem mine is the health aspect of it.
Got it.
Right? It's like— Of the fulfilled lives, what's the thing that's missing the most out of that to me, and the thing that I can bring the most value to? It's the health aspect.
Yeah.
It's, we are mind, bodies, and souls, and those are all three things are interconnected. And without a healthy body, you can't have the other things. Mm-hmm. So not to say that I'm not interested in the mind or the soul, spirit, the your life essence, your life force, but the health one. Five factors health is a big part of what we talk about as one of the frameworks to this fulfilled life. I believe that it's incredibly valuable, and it's where it's the thing that I would like to help solve. Like, I can't solve fulfillment. I don't know how to do that.
Right.
You know, and if I dedicate the rest of my life, maybe I could get a little bit farther along the line. But yeah, the place I feel like I could have the most, maybe this isn't most impact.
Yeah.
Solving a problem would be the health one.
Yeah. It's interesting because your impact answer is very big, and then your problem question narrows.
That's why.
And mine's kind of flipped, which is an interesting thing, which is like my impact one is very narrow.
Yeah.
And my problem is actually probably just a bigger version of that.
And maybe
who knows?
Because I answered it the other way,
But it's interesting. And I think one of the things that, as I'm reviewing this now, one of the things that's sitting down and answering these questions all together, not just wandering around the world and like, oh, that could be my definition, but actually putting them down on paper, maybe it's just me because this is who I am and how I look at things, but you start to be able to weave how these things play into each other.
Yeah, it's an interplay between the
Exactly. It's so not one or the other.
You do need to figure out which one's the subset of the other.
Yeah.
You do need to ask that and say, which is the bigger one? Which is the problem? Which is the impact?
Yeah.
That, again, the totality of the five is the five puzzle pieces, right? And you have to figure out which is a corner piece and which is a centerpiece.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting. This is fun. I'm glad we're doing this, but the problem, in what way could I start to solve that problem that could lead me to my own definition of success, right? These aren't separate. What is my personal Everest? It probably looks like the pinnacle version of you solving that problem. And if you do that, are you moving you towards that definition of success? And your face tells me
it's
you
not.
Disagree.
No, it's okay, just that mine is, again, I'm trying to come up with these. You've sat with these a lot longer than I have.
It's totally fine.
So I'm trying to do these in real time. Yeah. And then when I think of Everest, I like the way that you're piecing these together. And if I was to do this again, I would probably have different answers and at least put them maybe in different categories. My Everest is essentially what your impact was.
Okay.
If I could do this thing, if I had one thing that's why I think of Everest is like, I'm going to climb the mountain and put my flag on the top. Like this one singular thing that really narrowed down is essentially doing this so I went funnel this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Impact is the biggest one. Problem is the next biggest one. And then the Everest is the smallest one, which is essentially, before hearing your answer, it would have been, I want to have as amazing of a relationship with my children that I have right now throughout the entirety of my life.
Mm-hmm.
When I am 65 and 85, I want to be as close to I feel so close to my kids. Like, it's the amount of snuggling that we do is like, so it's crazy. And like, I feel so, so, so close to them. It's a little bit like of your answer of like, I would love to also be that teacher where they're farther and like that mentor and show them what an uncommon life looks like. And for them to be at 21 where I am at 41, I love that. And that's kind of my Everest. That's the thing. Like, I feel like that's attainable. The impact, I don't know if I'm going to have that impact. Mm. And the problem with yourself, I don't know if I can solve that problem. But if I put my mind to it, I know I could climb Mount Everest. And if I really put this, I really feel like I could do this thing.
Yeah. I love that interpretation of the question. I'm not at all going to say that it's wrong.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that's really cool. But I would still, or would you still connect all of those things back to that definition of success that you have for yourself?
Yeah.
If I do that again,
yes.
Did I solve the problem for the entire world? Okay. Maybe not, but like,
yes.
If I live a life in which I am pursuing these things,
it's kind of like, to me, it's like the downward funnel, right?
Yeah.
The biggest one is success.
Yeah.
The next one is impact. The next one is what's the problem. The next one is what's your Everest.
Yeah. And again, just to bring back what we said before, when you start to line these things up, the decisions that you can make, certainly, maybe that we can argue you should make, begin to at least become a little bit clearer. Because if there's anything that's pushing you out of line with your answer to one of these questions, the chances of you, again, whichever direction this particular
funnel goes,
you're not going to be in it, because the actions you take in pursuit of one of these questions will not move you in any discernible direction towards the actions of the other one.
Right.
Right. And so just being able to see these as, are these thematically linked, for lack of a better way to put it? Do these tell the same kind of story? If I live the rest of my life in accordance to my answers here, am I moving? Is that a life where I was scattered across 5, 6, 7, 18 different things? Or did I move in unison with my actions, with my intentions, with my decisions in a particular direction, in this direction of success?
Yeah, and that that 5, 6, 7 different places,
scattering
backyards of which you're playing the game in.
Yep.
One side of that could be, I think it depends on where you are in your life. It could be a little bit of a diversification play,
yep,
where you don't know where this is. So I'm going to, continue to live the life of a ski bum,
mm-hmm,
while doing the Peace Corps in the summer and trying to raise a family and see what that looks like. And in your late 20s, early 30s, that might be a really appropriate thing. I think that as you get closer and the farther and farther along your life, this should get narrower and narrower and narrower.
Yep.
I think otherwise, so. I think you're not necessary. I'm going to pause. Maybe not. I don't know the answer. I don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that you could probably have a pretty meaningful life. You could answer those things differently, right? If you were doing all those five different things that seem to the outside person as unlinked,
as siloed.
You might have a different framework where these things are very tied together. As long as that they are for you, then I think that I have a hard time not tying them together when I think about it actually.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't want to skip the last question because it's actually, I don't have a great answer to this, which is—
What was the last one?
It's what do I consider to be enough? But a good friend of mine, a good buddy, you know, John, he introduced this question to me a couple of years ago. And it's such I think it's so important to think about where, I don't know if satisfaction is the right word, like where, well, the question, what is enough? Like what, in this pursuit, in this chase, in this journey, when will I know that I can, I don't think it's settling, but like, how will I know when I'm going too far? And I think financial, like money is always the one of the easiest thing to think about with this question. It's like, how do I know when I've made enough and I can start to focus on other things, or I can say, I've got that kind of piece in my life figured out. And now like where else needs me? I think sometimes it can be really easy to not put the upper bounds on ourselves and just constantly be chasing and constantly be striving for more and more and more and more. And I think it's just as important to say like, this is where I'm trying to go as it is to say, here's how I know when I've gotten it. Here's how I know that I've reached what I was trying to reach.
My perspective on that is if enough is tied to something financially, it never will be. It's like, I use myself as an example. It's like, I can remember the year I made more than I ever thought I would possibly ever make. I didn't go, okay.
Yeah.
That like immediately I was in a new neighborhood and the perspective was completely changed. And I saw myself as the lowest rung in the new neighborhood. That's like, I just don't think, I really, really believe if what we're saying is enough, when will enough be enough? If what your mind goes to there is a dollar figure, it will never be. Because if you tell me right now, if I say, what is that number? And you go, well, if I had $10 million, I could live the rest of my life as I want it to be. I can tell you right now that I don't believe you. Because once you do that, you've rung up and now you go like, there's this next thing. And I just don't believe, I think it's, and the answer to this, why I believe the answer is, we as human beings are programmed for it not to be enough. Now, part of that programming really doesn't serve us because it distracts us from what we actually want, which is a peace of mind. What you really like, you think that you want to, I'm not disparaging you, but you think that you want to be able to spend two or three months a year traveling around the world. But what you really want is the peace of mind which that brings. That's the real thing.
Yeah.
So the rest is just a way to appease that because you believe that if you do that for those two or three months, it'll have the big lag effect afterwards and the big excitement factor beforehand that for six of those months a year, you will live peacefully, like peace of mind. I think that what we need to strive for in terms of what is enough is until we have peace of mind at all times, we're never going to stop striving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the sad punchline. We're not going to have peace of mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because life on planet Earth involves struggle and pain and uncertainty. It's just a part of being a human being. So this is that big disconnect that we have going like, I just need to earn more money so that I can do those things that'll make me feel good at that time. So I can have the boat, so I can do the travel, so I can have the house, so I can have the financial freedom not to have to go to work and do this thing and talk to this person and have these things and this stress, when all those things are just things that make us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Or things that make us feel bad. But even if we eliminate all of those things, those insecurities that you have don't go away. Mm-hmm. That's what eats us up. And we think we can solve it from getting enough of something.
Mm-hmm.
So what is enough? It doesn't exist because it's not a thing that we're actually searching for. It's the ability to be able to walk through life navigating the struggles without having them completely derail or destroy us. And the real struggles will do that in the moment. They're going to destroy us. If you, for some horrific reason, outlive your kids, like there's nothing in the world that's going to ease that pain. Nothing. It's going to be the worst pain that anybody could possibly imagine. Okay, guess what? That's a possible reality. Now, the enough is, can we experience that, move past it, and find peace of mind on the other side? That to me is the full life.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Is there anything that you would tweak about these questions, that you would add, that you would say?
I think we talked about this the last time, which is, I think that the biggest question we should be asking ourselves, in addition to these, because I really love these, and that enough one threw me for a loop.
Mm.
Like it really did. I was working through that in real time, so I wasn't blabbery. But is the question I think we should always be asking ourselves at all times is this the best use of my time?
Yeah.
Right? So I had the conversation earlier. We just hired a new coach who lived in LA for a while trying to become a Justin Timberlake background dancer.
Nice.
So
very specific.
Yeah. So that's what his thing was. So I'm adding a little flair to that. He wanted to be a dancer.
Got it.
And he mentioned Justin Timberlake, so I'm saying that. But commuting back from work every day was a 90-minute to 2-hour thing through LA traffic going 5 miles an hour. 5 miles an hour for 90 minutes. He's like, in the beginning, every car that got in front of me, I would get like enraged and pissed off. Like, the car in front of you doesn't care or know anything about you being pissed. Is that the best use of your time?
Yeah.
Like, you being upset, is that the best use of your time at that moment? Because when you have anger, bitterness, spite, jealousy, or other things, you're drinking poison, hoping the other person will die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what that is. So this is definitely not the best. And cool enough, he reframed it by listening to the podcast during those commutes. And he became this place, well, this is not the best use of my time, spending 90 minutes being enraged.
Mm-hmm.
This is my reality of which I am. This is what I'm doing. And he used the time very, very productively. That's a little microcosm. If we could bring that perspective to the totality of our existence here, what is the best use of our time? Let's maximize these minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it might be to sit on the couch with your kids and watch a cartoon on Netflix. That might be the thing. But let's be intentional with it.
We will get back to the show in just a minute, but first, a quick word of thanks to our sponsor this week, Blue Chew. Gentlemen, sex may not be the most important element of a romantic relationship, but there is no question that it is an essential ingredient to a strong, deep, and healthy partnership. Blue Chew wants to make sure you are at your best so you can create the connection you want. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers. Once you are approved, you will receive your prescription within days. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the U.S. and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. So if you are not showing up for your relationship in this important way, it's time to stop pretending it doesn't matter or that there's nothing you can do about it. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code EXCELLENCE at checkout. Just pay the $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code EXCELLENCE to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We are going to jump into a quick shout out. Shout out is just when we take a YouTube comment, a note that we've received, a podcast review, and just give it a little bit of space. If you haven't yet, it's always helpful to leave us a review wherever you are listening to this. It lets our algorithm overlords know that this show is worth showing to more people. All right. This is from Coach Crosby on Apple Podcasts. He or she says, this is a wonderful podcast for any listener to consider how they can improve in any foundational aspect of life. It's on my schedule to listen to every week, and I love the new format. It's refreshing, and it shows both of you are open to evolving and growth. Thank you, Ben and Patrick, for taking the time each week to share your insights and your knowledge.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach Crosby.
Coach C.
Cool down. As we have done in the past and as we are going to continue to do, we're going to introduce a new monthly challenge. I thought really hard about this one.
Let's go.
Because I wanted to do something that that actually is going to challenge me. And maybe challenge you, actually. It's a better question to you. Here's the challenge. We're going to commit to cooking one new meal every week.
New meal?
New meal.
Like it
can't be Taco Tuesday because you're good at Taco Tuesday. I'm raising my hand because that's me. That's it. So it's only four new meals over the course of a month. So my first question to you, and this is selfish for me because I'm trying to be more useful at home. So I've told my wife, I'll do dinners, whatever the two nights a week. I got it. And last Sunday, which was literally the beginning of our, me taking over Sunday dinners, I just completely forgot.
Oh my God.
So I'm doing this for myself to get myself on the hook to be more, because
One new meal.
So find a meal, cook a meal, then I guess you should eat the meal, or at least give it to somebody else.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you cook? I mean, I know
I reheat Power Meals, or I eat what Heather's provided.
Yeah, that's kind of
which is also reheating Power Meals.
All right, so I challenge both of you to cook a whole new, brand new meal.
We cook dinner probably realistically four nights a week. Yeah. I think we're, probably four nights a week. Mm-hmm. Probably Sunday, Monday. It's Sunday through Wednesday. Yep. Thursday, we try to do date nights. Yep. And then the weekends are they're the weekends. I'll actually take that back. Wednesdays, we don't do it because Bodhi has practice until 8 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. So last night I ate my dinner in my car at his practice.
Yep.
But Heather's been pretty good at cooking meals. That's gonna be a challenge. All right, let's do it.
There you go.
All right. I'll do Sundays.
So enthusiastic. All right, my friends. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your ratings and your reviews. If you like this show or this episode or any other episode, please do share it with a friend, a stranger at the grocery store, your neighbor, whatever. It helps.
I'm really liking how you are finding different people every single time.
People,
I love. Yeah. Last time it was a cousin. Now it's a stranger, but not a stranger. Stranger at the grocery store.
It's very specific. Yes.
I feel like we're watching.
This is a new challenge.
Form of impractical.
This is a new. It's a new challenge. I'm going to tell you one new person.
Yes.
Okay. Anyways, thank you everybody out there. Ben and I will be back for a new episode of Chasing Excellence next week.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliate Sophia Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.